Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a special schus for Avi Mar and Imi Marasi Sheyichyu, and the schus refuas Harav Avram Yosef Ben Chana, Rav Yitzchak Ben Bracha, Rav Shai Ben Leia, Rus Victoria Bastila Ovida, schus Nechagita Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi, V'chol Yotze V'chol Yotze V'chol Nivere Lo Nishmas, Chaim Tzvi Ben Eliyahu. And is a beautiful set of svarim that has come out in the last few years called Agan HaSar. Agan HaSar is a biography, or maybe we can call it an intellectual biography, of the great Gaon and Tzaddik Rav Avraham Genuchovsky. And I must tell you, Rabbi Say, that he was one of a kind. And I say this not with any exaggeration, one of a kind in his lamdus, in his yediyas haTorah, in his amkas haTorah, his tzidkus, his yerushamayim, his midas tovos. It's just out of this world. So each of these Agan HaSars, right now in front of me, is the first volume, the beginning of the first volume, where it was starting. But this is not including the maftech at the end. Over 800 pages of divrei halacha and stories about Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Hagaon HaGadol Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And there is so much to learn from him and from his life. So, and from his Divrei Torah, which are just never ending. He wrote thousands of kontrasim, just incredible. Kol Chelkei HaTorah. Yet he was a mensch beyond imagination. Tzadik. A nodiv. Maran Rav Kotev ba Kol Mechad, that when you read about great people, it elevates your soul. What elevates your soul the most is when you learn Torah Hashem. But even learning, hearing stories about great people, it really elevates your soul. So that's where I want to go with this. So this is a tchina. We're beginning with a tchina, a supplication that was found among the ksavim of Rabbeinu from his youth. This is the way he's writing with such pathos, with such poetry. Mipilei ha-yoytzer b'riyat ha-adam v'lo ma'arechet choshevet. V'im zachar u'menat choko rak shalvat ha-nefesh v'einav pekuchot la'asher lefanav v'kinyanei ha-dat shekanan nevla'im b'kirbo k'dvash l'matok. It's a wonder of the Creator that man was created with the ability to think. And if he merits and he has serenity in his life and his eyes are open to what's in front of him and the acquisitions of knowledge and understanding that he acquired are absorbed within him like sweet honey. V'im lo zachah v'chol machshavotav rogetz v'tzal mavet v'istarib v'tar'omot v'trunyot al ha'sovev oto הקרוב והרחוק, על כסילותם ורשעותם, ושכחה ממנו, כי הוא הסיבה לכל, אשר הוא רוגז, וכי עצם רוגזו חטא. And if he's not zerche, then how does he live his life? He lives his life with anger, disorder, the darkness of the shadow of death, with complaints, criticisms of everything around him, close, far. He's a Russia. He's a Kseel. He's a fool. He's an idiot. So bitter. Ugh. Such a person isn't Zeiche. And he forgets that it's all him. It's all his fault because he's angry. And his anger is a sin. His bitterness is a sin. What are you being bitter for? Okay, so he's an idiot. Why should... They once said that being angry is like swallowing poison to spite your friend, saying, but it's your poison. Anger is poison, Rabbi said. Ashrei ish kana chuchma. Ashrei ish yarei Hashem. Fortunate is the man who acquires the wisdom. Fortunate is the man who fears God. So said Rabbeinu, Ana Hashem havineni v'chakmeni adana eya kasus uperat enevin. עד אנה הלך במסילות החיים כשיקור שאינו יכול לדבר לפני המלך. Please Hashem, Give me bina, give me chokhma. How long am I going to be like a horse, like a mule that doesn't understand anything? How long am I going to go on the pathways of life like a drunkard that can't speak before the king? Matayi bakaka shachar ori v'yipatchu lefanai arubot ha-shamayim v'ere marot elokim. When is the morning going to break through and the arubot ha-shamayim, the chimneys to the sky? V'erem arot elohim, I'll see visions of God. Him charutzim mugbalim chaye adei adamot. V'yom pkudati lo nikhad mimeni. Life is very limited on this earth, and my day of death is not hidden from me. Lama malei b'mopi etchos chaye lanav arosh. Why should I fill with my own hands the cup of my life with bitterness? V'arei b'yadi l'malota shalal shamayim mefikei noga. It is in my power to fill it with the booty of heaven that illuminates, that's filled with light. When I read this, I was reminded of the beautiful maimer of the Rav, Maran HaRav, in Megid Yerachim Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, where he has these sayings for the month. So he writes a very, very famous line. When the soul shines, gam shamayim otei arafel, even the heavens that are covered with fog, mefikim or na'im, give out this pleasant light. So that's what Maran HaRav Genachavsky is saying over here. I can have such a wonderful life. Why should I actively make my life miserable? Yiratzon melfanecha, Hashem Elokai, Elokai v'Elokei Avotai, shetiftach bishari bino chochma v'das, v'kaim chovasi b'olami, loba b'kisuf le'emolet mipi dover asher einu karoi. So he says beautifully, it should be your will, God, that you should open up the gates of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge, and I should fulfill my purpose in this world, and I shouldn't come to the next world with embarrassment, and nothing should come out of my mouth that's not fitting. Ad kan l'shono. Anybody who was within the Dalet Amos of Rabbeinu saw b'chush. He had shalvas hanefesh, such calm at all times. He had set simcha pnimis, ba'ofen bal yeshua. It's just indescribable. Constantly, always b'simcha, even though he had a difficult life. He had a son, Rafal, who was a big tzaddik and a lamdin, who had cancer, and he died when he was about 18. That in itself can break a person. But he went on at the funeral. One of his other children, I believe, was covering the grave with dirt, was shoveling dirt onto the grave, and he went over to him and he whispered, I have kavanah to be mekayim a mitzvah. Be mechavin l'shem mitzvah, doing mitzvah for Buras HaMeis. That was his shalvas hanefesh. He lost his son, but he said, I have a mitzvah to do. And his wife wanted to put a picture of her late son on the wall. And Rabbi Avraham agreed. He just said, but tonight, that under it, she put the words, Ve'avta as Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol mo'adecha. There was a certain Talmud, and not only that, he had a big smile on his face. You see pictures. If you look at the, in this Sefer, in the Sefer Hagan HaSar, and you see picture after picture of him with this big, beautiful smile. It's so sweet, it almost makes me cry. A beautiful smile for a beautiful man. And he had achna to everybody who he stood next to, kikatan ukigado. He lowered himself, he made himself humble. He humbled himself in front of all. If you read the Igeres HaRamban, it is a biography of Arav Genachovsky. A partial biography. Everything it says there was him. The anova, the yira, the mechabi people, the humility. Amazing. A certain Talmud asked Rabbeinu, when he flew to Chutz Laaretz, the Torah of Halvayas HaMeis, should he say Tefillas HaDerech, V'sagiyenu l'chaim u'l'simcho l'shalom? When you say Tefillas HaDerech, you say V'sagiyenu l'chaim u'l'simcho l'shalom. But he's not flying for simcha. He's flying in for a levaya. He's flying in for a funeral. So Rabbeinu didn't like the question. He said, of course you have to say. What? Just because you're an Avil means you're not Besimcha? Simcha is one of the midos that a person has to have constantly. The Chazon Ish writes, Ein shum etzev ba'olam klal, lemisha zacha l'hakir ha'aretz shel emes. There's no sadness in the world if you know that you're the light of the lights of truth. And he said in the name of Rabbuna Mipshischa, that evil is Rosh HaTevis, ich bin lustig, I'm besimcha. This was reported by Agon Rishol Schneerson, who was a ram in the Chabinu Yeshiva, where Rav Ginochovsky was a Rosh Yeshiva. In the Ksavim of Rabbeinu, in his Machberes on Baba Basra, he writes, Bezu HaLashen, Kishadim Nitzav B'matzav Lo Noach V'Einu Yechol Lechaleitz Mimenu. When a person is in a difficult matzav and he can't extricate himself from it, he should be happy that he has an opportunity to be oimed b'nisayon and to go on the path that Hashem commanded us in His Torah. And the rise from Palti ben Laish, that he cried that he had to take Bath Shaul out of his house. But she was an Eishes Ish. So you're not supposed to put yourself in a nisayon, like it says in the Sefer Emunah B'tochen Perek Daladot's test. But when you have a nisayon, you're supposed to be happy with the nisayon. And Palti was upset that he was losing out on the Nisayon. When you have a Nisayon, you should be besimcha. Ah, Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given me this Nisayon. When Rabbeinu said Divrei Asayrus and his Chavrusa, who died young, Rabbi Aaron Kahana Zetzal, Nisan Tovshin Nuntes, 1999, he said that since the Nifter was descended from the Baal Kuntres HaSvekis, he's going to say what he saw in the Hakdamah of the Kuntres HaSvekis, and he spoke about that for a while. And he said that you're not allowed to be maspid because we're on Chodesh Nisan, so he's just repeating what it says in the Jerush there. But here, we're not always taking Eis Sfod, we're always taking Eis Rekod. We're happy that in our door, you can reach such madregas, such high levels that the Nifter reached. And then when the maspid spoke after Rabbi Avram, he said only Rabbi Avram Gidachovsky can say that we're here for Eis Rekod, for a time of dancing, like it says in Koheles. One boy came into Rabbeinu when Rabbeinu was sick, the end of his life, and the father said that the son is bitter because his brothers and the kids in the Talmud Torah are picking on him, and he wants a bracha. So Rabbeinu said to the boy, "Bezu Hashem, Tishma, Hashem Yisbarach Ziko Tanu Pam Bashana Lechol Mar, Va'az Aleinu Lahargish Et Amerirut, Aba B'chol Hashana Kula Anachnu Ma'aminim." Once a year, Hashem was mizaka astit mara. The rest of the year, we don't feel bitterness. We only feel bitterness then. The rest of the year, everything we get is from God. It's sweet. And it's latova. When Rabbeinu had to tell his wife that he had this terminal illness, he said to her, we received two great gifts in our lives. One is the illness of our son, Rafal Yonah. And the other is my illness. And the Rebbetzin said that Rabbeinu said it with such simcha that it was very clear that he really felt that God was giving him a gift. His son, Agoyin of Shlomo Yosef Genachovsky, related that Rabbeinu said at the end of his life that there's nothing to be afraid of. From death, you're going from room to room. The only thing you have to be afraid of is your averus. And his grandson, Goyen Reb Baruch, who was mishamishim in the hospital, the end of his life, he said he didn't see him sad at all. He knew his life was ending. He was an old man. He was a sick man, and he wasn't sad at all, except for twice. Twice he wasn't happy. Once, because he had a chashash that they lit the Neiros Shabbos for him. In the hallway of the hospital, too close to Shkia. And the other was on Simchas Torah 3 days before he died, when he was Choshesh, that he davened Mincha too early. Those are the only things that bothered him. His son-in-law, Goyen Rebbe Meir, related that one of his days of illness, they told Rabbeinu that he has a chaydak, bacteria in his body. And usually, when you get such a bacteria. So the person is usually gone. There's krisat marachot. The whole system collapses within hours. V'Hashem yirachim. What was his reaction? Nunu. And then they looked again at the test and they said, "Oh no, they made a mistake. It's not that bacterium." And they told Rabbeinu. His reaction? Nunu. And they said how he was makabel everything l'tova. Rabbeinu had a suffolk in one of his shiurim on somebody who had a chash that had a very serious illness in his body, and it turns out that he was healthy. It was a mistake. Is this included in the besuris tovas that you make a bracha about tova meitiv? Mitzad echod. Now he's not worried anymore, so it's a besura tova. But mitzad emes, it turns out that the whole thing was for naught. It was never a chash. There was never a concern to start with. He never had it in the first place. So it was a false alarm. It was, as we used to say in the summer, a fake out breakout. So Rabbeinu said that he thinks you can make the bracha. But he said, is it because of Ataras HaSafik? Why are you making the bracha? Because now you're not in doubt anymore as to whether you're going to live? Or because now you're not worrying anymore? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is when the household members didn't know about what was happening. Should he say Shechianu or Atoiva Meitiv? Because if it's Ataras HaSafik, resolving the doubt, so that's good for them also. So then you say Atova Meitiv because it's good for you and for them, for more than one person. But if it's only about the worry, then you say Shechianu. If it's about the worry, you say Shechianu because only you were worried. If it's Ataras HaSafik, so then there was a Safik, there was an objective Safik here, whether or not this person had this machla, whether or not this person was going to live. It was an objective suffix. He didn't know. So now he sees that he's fine. He doesn't have the machla. So since it turns out he doesn't have the machla, so the suffix was resolved, the doubt was resolved, so he can make it was resolved for everybody, even if they didn't know about it, so he can make a tova meitiv, because it's for more than one person, but maybe no. Maybe it's only a shechianu, because they didn't know. It's only removal of the worry, and only he was worried. Hagaon Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, at the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh, at the end of the year, he said his last visit with Rabbeinu at the end of his life, he saw that he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of dying. And Hagaon Rabbi David Cohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, he said, it's an hoga nifla shekemat lo nimtza kayotze bo klal. It shows what avod he did his whole life. He knew he was in a prozdor, so he's just waiting, like it says in Mesillas Yesharim. There's an Ibn Ezra in the Hakdama to Koheles. On the Pasuk, Oirach Chaim Lamala Lamaskil, Laman Sur Misha'ol Mata. This is just a Muridika Ibn Ezra. The path of life is above to a maskil in order that he remove himself from the grave below. Vizel Shano Atar. Ki Kasher Yisav Oirach Shenishba. Sheretzon Aloshev Lerz Mulat Eliosi Mishpachtu. Ken Tichsef Ruach HaMaskelos Lechaz Mal Sekvos Ad Eloslam Rechaz Elokim Chaim She שאינמו שוכנה בתי חומר, כי אדם הנמצא בבית הסוהר במדינה אחרת, זה המצב של הנשמה שלנו. בנפש שלנו כוסף אסלאלוס למלכות אלוקים חיים, שאינמו שוכנה בתי חומר, והיא עושה כאן שיפס איזו מסכמת ושיפה לך יזמל את גבוס. ואיך היא תעשה את זה, ממשיך אבן עזרא, וזה יהיה אם תסלה בין הרוח ותסקדש מתומס טייבס הגביעס, המגולוס והטמפרס הקודש לסרב בשול מטה. ותושב אלי בלדעס יסוד ולרוע סוידה. לדעס יסוד ומיין בוס ולרוע סוידה, היינו אלוהי כן השם שנסעת ביטהרי. אז תהיה נזכנס לדעס קושת עם ראייה מסביעה מחוי ככן עולה שלא ימחו ביפר דמייה לגביעסה. עד יעמול השתר בחיקס תורה בו כי למה בוא לכאן? למען הרוסה הוא וכאן. למה עוד בניסיון לעשה סעס מכוח לפה ומוסיף. על כן נכלה במסגר עד איז קץ וכל זה להויל להיטיב לו במסב לו המלשון במספר כן תנוח ותשמח הלומי על דעת ובלי קץ. In other words, what the Ibn Ezra here says is that the neshama is like being in captivity. Just like when a person is in captivity, he wants to go home. So too our Hashem is in captivity here on earth, and he wants to go home. He wants to go back. And what does he do in the meantime? In the meantime, he connects, he has Dveikus Bashem. And in this way, he, on some level, he's connecting back to his source. And then when the time comes, so it's going to be a smooth transition. the person's amel b'torah, he's davik b'malas bruchanios, so then he's going to make the tikkun. Hanishama shelanu mishtokeket lemarachot elokim chayim. Our soul wants to be with God. And the way to reach this is through amel Torah, dveikus malas bruchanios. And not to be, and you have to know yisoidi, you have to know where you came from. And you have to know the secret of alakayna shemesh and asad to be tahori. And then you live with the truth, and then Torah is engraved in you. And it's not going to be erased when the body dies. Now we're here in order to pass nisyonos, and it's all a hative. But a person has to be makadish himself. That's what it means. Arachaim lamal lamaskil. When a person's a maskil, he wants to go up, 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 go back to his source. In order to go away from this shalmata, from all the taivas, because the taivas are what distance you. That's the grave. The grave is being immersed in Inyanei Olam Hazeh. When Rabbi Yosef Tzuriel was nifter, he used to daven with Rabbeinu. He was miyase dominion vasikin. Rabbeinu would daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbeinu would say, when he would give a shir after davening, he would say, "Brishus Amar Dasra," meaning Rav Tzuriel. So after Rav Tzuriel was nifter, so Rav Yitzchak Glick also used to daven vasikin. So he approaches Rabbeinu at the Levaya, and he says, "What does it mean? When you daven vasikin, you're not harmed all day long. So how did he die so suddenly?" So the Gemara Brachos 9b says here about some gula tefila. But in Tosis there, you see, it's only some of the field feels was seeking. You done was seeking that day. How did this happen? So Rabbeinu said, "I don't understand. You're going from the waiting room. You're going to the palace. That's called being harmed." So this was related by Rabbi Glick and by Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Wasserman, who was also there at that time. What's the problem? So the Misa is not it's not a nezek. It says Toiv Ma'od Ze Yom Misa, brought from Rashi Ala Torah. Rav Yonasan Eibishitz explains why Haman came in the middle of the night to ask for Mordechai to be hanged, because he knew that if he davens v'sikin, he's not going to be able to get him. And the only time he's been able to get him is after Chatzos, before v'sikin, and that's why Haman wanted to get him at this time. So too in the parish Shleim Esther Al Megillas Esther, Talmud of the Alshech. There was a certain person who used to tell stories to Rabbeinu. Whenever he would finish his stories, Rabbeinu would say, "Now what's the Musar Haskel? We can learn from that story." So when Rabbeinu was sick at the end of his life, the last time he came to Shul, next to his house, he was very weak, and his son was holding him up in his Talmud. He helped him come to Daven. And the person came to Rabbeinu, he said, "No. What's the Musar Haskel we can learn from this?" And he pointed to Rabbeinu, who was very, very weak. "What's the Musar Haskel?" So Rabbeinu lifted up his hands and he said, "Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem." He used to love the parish of the Nesivis to the Pasuk, "Ach toiv v'chesed yirdefuni." Only good and chesed will run after me. The redifos that run after a person all the days of his life are only good. Toiv v'chesed yirdefuni. All the redifos are toiv and chesed. People running after you, people speaking against you. It's toiv v'chesed. And one of the shiurim of Rabbeinu that he was moser on the yahrzeit of his son, Habacha Rafal Yoina, that was took place b'kvius in his house in Beis Adar. We just had Beis Adar, so the yahrzeit of the Beis Yisrael. So what he would do was he would take a little he'ara that his son wrote in his Gemara, and then he'd make a whole shiur out of this little he'ara. His son was a big lamdan. He was a young man. He was a big lamdan, and he would take one he'ara of his son, and he would build a whole shiur on it. So one year, the shir was on Akasha that his son had on a tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger and Chelekimel Simen Lamed Aleph about Migul Ahotzi. So at the end, Rabbeinu said that he asked a chakira. How do you get to such a great Kasha in Rabbi Kiva Eger? Is it b'schus the ha'aras panim that my son had for everybody? Or is it b'schus that he learned Rabbi Kiva Eger that he had such ha'aras panim? That was his chakira. How is he zochar to ask such a Kasha? Is it b'schus that he had such a aras panim, and Mameli asked this kasha? Or is it b'schus that he learned Rabbi Akiva Eiger so well, and Mameli had aras panim? He had such a shining countenance. And what he wanted to be merames was you need both. You need to be meir panim, and you need to be shakun Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Agav, Rabbeinu was a mumche otzim b'kol kisvei Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Yosher v'hafuch, everywhere. They once found a ksaviyat of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He sat and he read it. I think it was 6 hours. He went through it from beginning to end. And he said, there are 25 new things in this sefer. Everything else is written somewhere else. 25 chidushim. And he, I believe, enumerated the 25 chidushim. In other words, he knew everything that was written in Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he can point to this is what already says there, this it says there, this it says, oh, this is new. This is, oh, that's not, no, that already says there. Oh, that's new. That's a chidush. That never Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't say anywhere. You need a pretty good mastery over Rabbi Akiva Eiger to do that. He had a special chavivus for Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He called him his rabbi. That was his rabbi. His Talmud, Rabbi Didi Manas, was once in Yerushalayim with Rabbeinu, and he had to go to a chasana of a certain bachur that was taking place at Bayit Vegan in Ramat Gan. And a boy came, and he told Rabbeinu that they missed the bus for the simcha. In other words, there was a bus that was going directly from the yeshiva, wherever they were, to the simcha. And they missed it. So now they're going to have to take numerous buses. So what do you usually say in such a situation? Darn it. The Mikra Tova person silent. What was his immediate instinctive reaction? He clapped his hands and he said, Eze Yofi! Ah, beautiful. About a year before he was Nifter, he was in Yerushalayim, he fainted. And afterwards, they woke him up. And he didn't want to tell this to his wife. So one of the people that was there called up his wife in Bnei Brak and asked, how's the Rav? And the Rebbetzin understood that something happened. And she knew what happened, and he was forced to say. And then he understood that he was the one who shared the bad news. So afterwards, he went to Rabbeinu to ask him for mechila. He caused him anguish. So Rabbeinu said, Shkoyach, Shkoyach, he did me a favor. I wanted to tell her, but I didn't know how. So you did it in the best possible way. Everything he said, the people was to make them feel good. There are thousands of stories. Mitzvah Shem. Get more into them. In the third week, after his illness became known, after Mincha, he went to the shoemaker that was next to the shul, and he asked him to add a hole to his belt because he got skinnier because of his illness. And he asked the people there that they shouldn't tell his wife, so she shouldn't have tzar from this. In the Gemara in Gittin, at the end of Perek HaNizakin, it says that rabbis are called malachim. Be malachim yimlochu. With me, kings will rule. The Gemara says in Yuma, 72b, that there are three crowns, Mizbeach, Aaron, and Shulchan. Mizbeach, Aaron took, Kahuna, Shulchan, David took, Parnasa, and the Aaron is Munach, anyone wants can come and take it. Maybe you'll say it's less, it's inferior. Amalomer, Bimalachim, Imlochu. No. With me, in other words, Torah speaking, me, kings will rule. Rashi writes, "V'golah hamamlich min hamelech." The one who gives the rulership is greater than the king himself. Rav Huttner once stood up for Moshe Scherer, who was the CEO of Agudas Yisrael. So they said, "What are you standing for? Scherer's a nice man, but what's the Rosh Hashiva standing up for him for?" So he said, "Don't we stand up for members of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah? Of course. So shouldn't we stand up for the person who decides who's going to be on the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah?" So that's Rav Scherer. So that's what it's Rashi saying over here. Godel amamlich min amelech. The person who makes the kings is greater than the kings. And the Torah is saying this pasuk, be, I make kings. So Mele Torah is greater than Malchus. So Keser Torah is the greatest Keser. It's greater than the Keser of Kohuna. It's greater than the Keser of Malchus. It's the greatest Keser Torah. To be mamlich malachim. That's why Rabbanim are called Malachim, they're kings. They have Torah. Torah makes them kings. Because a king is in control. He's in control of others and he's in control of himself. That's how Yosef became king of Egypt. Because he was able to control his passions. Ibn Ezra, Parshas Naso, $100 million Ibn Ezra. Vida, ki kol bnei adam avdei taivas ha'olam. V'amelech b'em seish lo nezer v'ateres, malchus b'roshu mishu chofshim min ha'taivas. People are bali taiva. You're a king, you're overcoming your taivas, and therefore you have a crown on your head. Mishlei 16:32, u'moshel b'yitzro, greater is one who rules over z'yitzro, milocha idir, from somebody who captures a city. Rabbeinu had complete shlita over his midas. Complete. His ritzonos, his chukos, and he always was just in control of what he did and what he said and how he felt. And he would always, he would also like direct things, my heart or my mind. One time he had a suffix. If you're allowed to be Meshabech a ger, and when he was a guy, you're not allowed to be Meshabech a guy, it's lo sechane. So you're allowed to praise a ger about the time where he wasn't Jewish. Is this lo sechane? So Rabbeinu said that his heart tells him that it's mutter, and his seichel tells him that it's aser. He also had a suffix, what's more important? Mincha or shalshuddis? You can only do one. Mincha or shalshuddis? So Rabbeinu said, his seichel tells him, shal shudis, because mincha you can make up with two myrives. But his lev tells him, how can you eat and not daven? Of course you should daven. But kahena rabbis, many, many, many things like that. And when he had ritzonos, which weren't the ritzonos of Hashem, he would fight them. It was against the ritzon Torah. Lashon HaChazonish beGroisov, Kol Shviras HaRatzon Uevan Achas Miavni Ritzpas HaZera Livnos HaChaim beKodesh. Every time you break a Ratzon, every time you overcome a will that's not in line with the Torah, then you are planting one stone in the Azara, in the courtyard of your personal Beis HaMikdash. Bav Mitzia 32b. Oev lifrok v'sone liton, mitzvah b'sone, k'dei locho v'siyitzra. If you can help somebody you love unload his donkey, which is helpful to the donkey also, or you can help somebody you dislike load his donkey, you help the person you dislike in order to overcome your yetzer. The Gemara says, even if you hold Tzar Bali Chaim is doiraisa, it's more important to overcome your yetzer hara, to hate this person. In the Perush Rabbeinu Yonasan Min Ulanil, he explains that overcoming your yetzer is more important than numerous mitzvahs. Lev nishbar v'nitke elokim lo yisivze. Zivche elokim ruach nishbara. So you see how great it is, a broken spirit, how great it is. It's even docha the yisr of Tzar Bali Chaim d'oraisa. In one of the Shabbases when Rabbeinu came back from treatments that he had undergone in Germany, he gave a shir in the Tzandar Beis Medrash, and after the shir, two Talmidim came up to Rabbeinu's house, and they asked him what to be mischazik in. And he said, you should be mischazik in batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzoino, being a batel your ratzon before the ratzon of Hashem. A lot of people told Rabbeinu their secrets, and they knew that by Rabbeinu a secret is a secret. There will never be a scenario where he is going to reveal what was told to him privately. Someone was close to him, was named Avram Porush. And he drove Rabbeinu in Yerushalayim many times over the years. And he wrote a kuntras, Bo'av of Ketzei Hashem Yishbu Vuresa. So he said he had an American car with very heavy doors. And one time one of his sons closed the door on Rabbeinu's hand. And he didn't say a word. Somebody else would scream in pain. And Rabbeinu didn't say a word. A story like that also by Moshe Feinstein. See these tzaddikim, they have complete shlita. The royalty of Rabbeinu stood by his side, even in very, very difficult times when other people go into great panics, and he was calm, and he had a Simchas Chaim. One of them, an amazing story, was on Motze Yisro Chag Pesach, Tovshin Samach Zayin, 2007. There was a fire in his house on the top floor, and Rabbeinu was learning in his house with Rabbi Yechiel Boim. And Rabbeinu said that when he heard that there was a fire, he called the firemen, and he said that he's going to start putting out the fire and they'll continue when they come. They told him on the phone not to do that because there's electricity involved. It's dangerous. So after everybody left, the fire spread to the third floor, and the Rabbeinu stood on the bottom seeing how they're going to put out the fire. It was a big fire. 4 hours it took them to extinguish it. Rabbeinu stood there for a long time. And the Talmud was wondering, why is Rabbeinu standing there? He wasn't a person who had this midah of curiosity. What's he wasting his time for? And it turns out that he was waiting for them to finish, that he can thank each and every one of them for the chesed that they did to save his apartment. Rabbeinu related that at the Levaya of the Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, there was a black woman there. And they asked her what her shaychus is to the nifter. And she said that she was his nurse in the hospital. And Rav Moshe kept thanking her. Thank you, thank you. He kept thanking her. And she was just so taken by him. So impressed. And they asked Rabbeinu at that time, isn't he worried about his ksavim? There's a lot of water in his house. And they were right next to the ground, right above the ground. The Rav of my shul here, Gaon HaGadol Rav Chaim Meir Horowitz Shlita, is a chavrusa of Rabbeinu, and he said he spoke to him on the phone at this time. He was completely calm. Completely calm. He had something like 8,000 kontreis in there. I'm saying he had thousands of hours of writing. Completely calm. And he said that the daiga is only tzipor nayim. The Ramah writes that when you cut your nails in the right hand, you do bidaiga. Bays the second finger, and then dalet the fourth finger, and then aleph the first finger, and then gimel the third, hey the fifth, bidaiga. That's the only time you're supposed to have worry when you cut your nails. In Rosh Hashanah in Shara Asiri, he says that Bali Bitachon don't have a musig of daiga, b'nyanay olam hazeh klal uklal. The only thing they're worried about is olam hab. Chazonish, igrois, Don't think about your mitzukot. Don't think about your distress. Be mechazik yourself, and be mevatel those waves that go over your head, and don't feel it, and then you're going to get great schar for that. He says you're going to be mekabel schar al aprisha for separating. And they saw that at this time, at this difficult time, when his apartment was possibly going to go up in flames, besides all of his ksavim, all he was worried about was doing chesed. He had a Talmud Rav Disler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Sarayisa. So he approached him to give him yidur, to encourage him. And when Rabbeinu saw him, he said, Rav Moshe, you have a daughter in Shiduchim? What do you think about this idea? And then he started a collection for his neighbors whose apartments were damaged. And then he sat down and he wrote ksubas. You're not allowed to live with your wife if you don't have a ksuba. So he wrote ksubas for his neighbors whose ksubas were burned. So you shouldn't be living without a ksuba. And the Talmidim were worried about his ksavim. And they asked him if they should go by Mesiris Nefesh to save the Ksavim. And he said no. And even when the fire was extinguished, he was only allowed to ask the non-Jewish woman who used to take care of his mother-in-law, who lived then in his house, to take out her medications. and his tefillin. And it turns out that Baruch Hashem, his ksavim, were saved with tremendous hashkacha pratis. But you see what malchus he had to be totally calm this time. And this is obviously for us to learn from as much as we can. Of Korelitz, Bar Mishael Korelitz said that he had asked Rabbeinu a few days before that he should come and test the Talmidim and Bava Kama. Perek Dalet Vehei. And they set a date, and it was the day after the fire. So when the fire was going on, so he came to Rabbeinu and he said, you know, I'm not expecting Rabbeinu to come tomorrow. So he said, what are you talking about? Of course I'm coming. We agreed I'm going to come. But they weren't allowed to go into the building. So he asked Rishus from the Gabbai of the Shul that he should give him a room, the Beis Medrash, that he could test the Talmidim over there. And he tested them with such sweetness, as if that's all he has in his life, this Perek and Bava Kama. And then afterwards, he went to say a shir in some shul, and he spoke on the Pasuk in Parashat Shavuot, Eish Tamid, Tukal HaMizbech Le'sif Sichbe. Very, very deep in Yanim. That's what happens when you live with Bitachon. Even when he was in his last days in the hospital in Shari Tzedek, he did everything he could to be made to the Zulasa, anyone who came to visit him, to ask each person what they need. Hagoyen Rabbi Yamin Reimer, Shlita, relates in his Hespe, he was a person who needed a mortgage. And Rabbeinu called from the hospital to the bank clerk to ask that they should certify this man to give him a mortgage, and that nobody should be offended at this time. And Rabbi Yisrael Eisenstein relates that when he visited Rabbeinu in his illness, he's spoken about the Chazon Ish and his parish to the Torah, which is printed in the Chazon Ish at the end of Tiris, that somebody davened to his friend that he should come close to Hashem. It's not considered bittul kol habechira, because the tefillah is being davened by a baal bechira. And Rabbeinu said that this yisod is already Rabbi Kiva Eger, and they looked, they didn't find it. And then they asked one of the big Bikim and Divrei Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he said that he must have made a mistake because he's very sick, so not in Rabbi Kiva Eger. They went back to Rabbeinu and they said they didn't find it. And apparently Rabbeinu made a mistake. It's in a different sefer. So Rabbeinu said, Hecha chai yechol lahakrish zachai. It's in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Yeah, a living person can't contradict that. I'm here, and I'm telling you it's Rabbi Kiva Eger. So they found it in Rabbi Kiva Eger on Maseches Chulin, on Maseches Brachas, on Daf Yud, Shabbat Sosar of Zilberberg. So maybe it's not a common hotzah. I don't know, not a common print. But they found it in the end, in Kisver Rabbi Kiva Eger. And he proves it from Tainis Chof Gimel Amud Beis, Zohar Kaddish, Daf Kuf Hei, the Pasuk of Machasin Me Avram. They found this Yisod in the Chasim Sofer Al HaTorah, and Daf Torah Chag HaSukkos, and the Rabbein was very happy when he saw this. His Talmud Rav Shalom Sprung related the following. When he was learning in the yeshiva, there was a terrible accident in a bus. The students of the Or Yisrael Yeshiva in America, they had a Shabbos get together, Shabbaton, what they call, for the graduates of the yeshiva who learned in Eretz Yisrael. And in that accident, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Geltzeller, was injured, and he died afterwards from this. And it was on a Thursday night, and they were on their way to this Shabbaton, and there were a lot of bachurim from the Chabina Yeshiva. And at the beginning, there were terrible, terrible stories that there are people killed, injured. Turns out it wasn't true. And a lot of people in the yeshiva were very afraid. And one bachur asked Rabbeinu, he said, "My brother's on the bus. Should I tell my parents or not?" He was afraid his parents would hear from the street. And the bachurim stood around Rabbeinu to hear what he's going to say. So he didn't lose his shikul hadas, his calmness, his serenity. And he thought this way, that way. He said, "Mitzad achad, you shouldn't scare them too much. You shouldn't cause them unnecessary anguish. Mitzad sheni, you should tell them, because their tefillahs are very important at this time. Nobody can daven like they can daven." He said, "Better tell the mother, not the father, not the mother, because women usually take it harder." And then he sat in the office of the yeshiva. We stood around him. He asked us the names of the boys who were in the accident. And he took a phone book and he called up every hospital in the area to be mevayer if one of the boys was there and what his matzav is. And all with shikul hadas and Shabbos HaNefesh. When his son was nifter, they came back with him from Boston with his aron. A lot of people came to the airport to greet Rabbeinu. And Rabbeinu and his Rebbetzin had special smiles on their faces and they thanked everyone for coming. And when they took his coffin from the airplane, Rabbeinu said to his Talmud, Rav Yitzchak Beledi, "Right now we're saying Dayan Emes, and after Tchiyas HaMeis we're going to say a Tov HaMeitiv." And during the Shiva, he learned with his son a lot of Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Avelus. On Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Noach, in 2004, they spoke about the fact that on Shabbos, the false teeth of his mother-in-law were lost. And there was a lot of tzar for his wife, because to prepare new teeth is very difficult. And what is she going to do about her eating? And it's also about $6,000. Teeth are expensive. And the whole Shabbos, Rabbeinu said, "No, it's going to be okay. We're going to find it." They looked, and they couldn't find it. And the Filipinit, who took care of her, came on Shabbos. She brought her friends. She said, "Whoever finds it gets 100 shekel." And nobody found it. And then afterwards, the elderly mother-in-law said that she thinks that it fell into the toilet in the bathroom. And they'd already flushed the toilet, so it's not going to be found. He said, "Don't worry about it." So he invited a plumber to come. And he said to him he's going to pay him 250 shekel to find it. And he's going to get the 250 shekel whether he finds it or not. And he found it. And he said it was a moifes gummer. Because normally such a, it just got stuck in there and doesn't normally happen that way. And the Talmud is relating this story. Says that he was blown away by Rabbeinu's bitachon. Rabbeinu said, "You don't have to tell other people this story." But he said that now that Rabbeinu was nifter, so now I can tell the story that we should learn from his bitachon. So after he went back to his chedushim to continue writing his chedushim, he said, "Listen, if we were business people, we should have made the following agreement with the plumber. If he finds it, he gets 2,000 shekel. And if he doesn't find it, he doesn't get anything. And this way, we can only win. If he finds it, we we're saving a few thousand shekel. And if he doesn't find it, we're not losing." But he said, "But we're not business people, and our head isn't in money. We're Oseik B'Torah. We don't do it that way, and we go between us, paid him no matter what." And then he continued writing up the chedushim that he was in the middle of writing. They were talking about the din of Shachach Saint Talamotar, and he remembered an Elokai Nitzor. Should he answer Kedusha? Or maybe it's considered that he's in the middle of davening, because he forgot it in the Saint Talamotar, so he has to go back. So since he has to go back, so Mimela, he's in the middle of davening, or maybe no. He's considered that he finished davening. And his maskana is that he shouldn't answer like the Sholem Eshev says. Shal is true to Sholem Eshev. Other Achronim argue, they say, no, if you fed up St. Talamutter, you know the kind of tzor, you should answer. Murray Rabbi Sai, there's a lot more to tell. We're just the beginning. And Amir Tashem, we know that we'll continue. Thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom.